Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Thursday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and we'll be joining Dr. Debbie Green for a conversation that is so familiar with too many of us. Today we want to take a look at betrayal. Have you ever experienced disloyalty in your marriage or personal relationships? Have you ever been lied to over and over again and still remain in the relationship, feeling obligated and stuck because of your beliefs? Have you ever loved someone and know the person had committed infidelity and continued to remain in the relationship, staying in emotion and mental pain?
Welcome, Soulful Solutions. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We have a very interesting topic, and let me go ahead and plug in my wonderful co-host.
Yes, and we were just about to play your promo so we can do that, and then people will have an opportunity to hear this wonderful topic that we'll be discussing today, because so many people have experienced this and are living it right now. So we want them to reflect as we...
with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Couple, been in a marriage for quite some time, anywhere between 5 years or more. No marriage, there is infidelity. Okay? Known infidelity, which means both parties know. Well, they know the partner was revealed. Let's say it like that. Because a lot of times infidelity is in a marriage and no one knows that it's there. Okay? So, there you go. And they tend to stay in the marriage. The person that is loyal, that is not, you know, cheating, stays in the marriage with a person that is disloyal. Mm-hmm. So what's wrong with that picture?
Oh,
is
yeah.
it right? Is it fair for that person to continue to stay in that relationship, even though this person is not, you know, honest and trustworthy? You know? And I mean, I think, and I mean, it's not just my views, I'm just looking at it from a perspective of therapeutic, I think it's very unhealthy. Because the thing about this is, they're making a decision to stay in a dysfunctional relationship. Now, if that person is in a relationship and they know about their infidelity and they say, okay, well, the person that committed the act may say, oh, I'm so sorry, it happened by accident, which we know ain't true, but they may say something of that nature. And that other person chooses to forgive them, okay, that's the one time that they even know of, because it's a good chance this person has been cheating for a while. Okay, we cheat from different aspects, not just physically, but also mentally cheat. Okay?
Absolutely.
Infidelity is just not a physical act, people. It's also an emotional and a mental act.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
it actually develops in the mind first. Then the action comes out in reality. So if you're not honest with a person, okay, that's infidelity. If you tell lies constantly, you're betraying that person. That's a form of infidelity, you know. If you are untrustworthy and they cannot depend on you, you know, that's an area of infidelity. You know, so it's so many different ways that this can happen. So what causes this? Is it just the person just not wanting to be honest? Or is it just the person that just doesn't have respect for the other human being?
Well, you know.
Well, I just.
I just want to say to all my friends who are in this situation, who have told me about it, I did not tell Dr. Debbie your business. She came up with this topic all by herself. So don't. I told her that, and she telling her. No, I didn't tell her this. So I just want y'all to know. I did not tell her your business. So just so that you know, it didn't come from me. But it's a whole bunch of folks that whose life you're telling right now. They're living this right now. And I didn't tell her. I just want y'all to know that. Don't get mad at me, because she's not knowingly talking about you. But you know she's talking about you. That's all I got to say.
No, as I said, I just been noticing a trend I just have to be honest, where I, you know, my career, where I work at, it was just these women and men have just been coming in suffering with massive anxiety and depression because of these dysfunctional relationships. I mean, and they are in the relationship. And the invisible loyalty is there not just to the person that they're involved in, also to their families. The families are also causing major problems in their lives as well.
Well, you know what I've observed in these kind of relationships? Underlying everything is fear.
Absolutely.
When you won't leave a situation that you know is not reciprocal and makes you feel disrespected, there's fear that either people are going to laugh at you or talk about you because, you know, you lost your partner, or fear that you can't find someone else to love you. This is the best you can do. Be grateful that you have somebody. Or even if it's a financial dependency, fear that you can't take care of yourself, and so you have to stay with this person because otherwise your rent won't get paid. You might end up homeless. You might lose your car. So you stay in a situation that is not fulfilling out of fear that you can't do something better if you leave. And that's what I see as the underlying motivation for each person who's in that situation. There's something that they fear, and that's what makes them stay.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And the thing about this is when you're in a relationship like that, you have to come up with what they call a feasible plan. See, you have to regain your own independence, because apparently you are attached to this person with some type of tangible item, whether it's money, cars, homes, or whatever the case may be, and you attach to them over the period of years, you have not been the independent person that you were supposed to be. It's okay to be in a relationship, but you should be independent in the relationship. Have your own car. Have your own bank account.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I don't care if they're very wealthy people. You still need to have your own, because something can change at any given time, and then you find yourself without.
Yeah.
Or having to deal with dysfunction or being very mentally and emotionally stressed because you have nowhere else to go. You have no other alternative because you didn't create any.
Yeah.
So who's to blame? It's showing the person that's trying to hold you there, or the person you're still dealing with, it's you.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. So how do we come out of that? Let's do some healing. Let's do some healing, wonderful people. Let's do some healing. Okay, first we have to realize the signs. How do you know you are in an invisible loyalty relationship? But what the thing about is, what is your mental stressors? Your mental stressors will let you know if it is attached to another human being. That is your mental stressors, which is then, you then ask a question, is this particular person, do they have any type of control over me? And question, why am I allowing it? Why am I allowing myself to stay as a permanent fixture in a relationship that is unhealthy for me? So what do I think about myself in that? Why am I not valuing? Why do I find value in myself to where I would literally stay in a situation in a circumstance that is not worthy of me? It's not worthy of me, period, because it's dysfunctional. They're speaking to me in some type of way that I feel uncomfortable. They're doing things outside of the relationship that also makes me uncomfortable. They're doing things with finances that I am also not comfortable with. It's even how they treat me as a human being I am not comfortable with. So why am I still there?
So now I have a question. Is it possible that people could be conditioned for those kinds of relationships? Maybe either they observed that growing up, or they were treated in a certain way growing up where they were conditioned to accept verbal abuse, conditioned to accept neglect. And so for them, that's normal to not feel respected, to not feel considered, to be taken advantage of? Is it possible people can actually be conditioned to end up in those kind of relationships? I've seen people that they get in those relationships over and over and over again, and it's like, but didn't you learn from this last one? You were angry, you were upset, you ended it, and then you got back in. It's really the same relationship, just with a different person. So,
correct.
Is that what happens? That people get kind of molded and shaped in such a way where this feels normal, even though it's distressing and hurtful, but this is all you know, people who treat you like this.
You said the magic word on the end of all of that, that's all you know. That's all you know. You're right. That's all they know. See, the thing about this is most people actually create habits of responding and reacting to relationships that it's dysfunctional because you're right, that's all they know. They've been in dysfunctional relationships before, so they're thinking, well, this must be the way it is. You know, so I might as well stay in this because I don't think it's going to get any better because I've had other dysfunctional relationships and it doesn't seem like it's getting any better. I keep running into the same one. And it's because you have not made yourself and gave yourself a healing point in your life. When you come out of one dysfunctional relationship, you don't give enough time to yourself to heal before you go into another relationship. And you say, well, don't even talk to that. So how long does it take? As long as it takes for you to understand that you have to be empowered and choose a relationship, a person that is worthy of you, not underneath your value. We are attached to dysfunction more so than we are to functional relationships. Because, again, it's easier for us to accept the same thing over and over again instead of feeling worthy for the things that we desire.
So how does a person develop a sense of worthiness within themselves if, like you say, that's all they know? They've never felt what it feels like to be valued because perhaps they had parents that did not treat them well. They had siblings that did not treat them well. They had friendships where they were not treated well. And so they're the person who just accepts being treated badly, and they might complain about it, but they don't do anything to get out of the situation, like you say, dependency on somebody who's treating you badly. You know, what has to happen internally for them to change that pattern?
Well, most people, if they're in that pattern, Naima, of just looking and accepting dysfunctional relationships from dysfunctional responses. Now, you got to remember, it is how that person is responding to the person. See, the person that's dysfunctional is used to doing that. You see what I'm saying? They're used to being in a relationship where they are dealing with a person that doesn't have the confidence in themselves. Okay? That it should be presently there, you know, saying that, oh, okay, I'm not going to be in a relationship with somebody just going to disrespect me and treat me any type of way by their actions and their behaviors and their words. Okay? That person has the confidence within themselves. Now, of course, okay, we can blame it on the inner child issues, as you say. You know, well, what about when they were growing up and their parents, you know, said this to them? Okay, that means that's a core belief that's inside of them that I am supposed to still be loyal to a person that talks down to me. I'm supposed to be loyal to a person that doesn't treat me very well. That doesn't mean they don't love me. Okay, because that's the way I grew up. But dang dong, guess what? You're not a child anymore. You got to get out of that type of mindset or you will always be taken advantage of. And you're tired of that. And I know they're tired of being taken advantage of because people like that get used very easily. And they get hurt. And then once they get hurt over and over and over again, here comes that wave of low self-esteem, even lower, then that's when this thing called depression starts to come in. Mm. I'm not worthy. Why do they keep doing this to me? Why do I keep being hurt? And then it's called a learned helplessness. I've learned that I am not worthy, and I keep being hurt, and I don't think that I am valuable. Okay, self-defeat is real. They get into that pattern. Once they get into that pattern, then they get self-sabotaged. So somebody else coming into their life telling them, oh, no, you're good. No, I'm not. I'm surprised you even love me.
Mm.
I'm surprised you even care for me. All my other relationships, they just used me. But this person is here to love you. But remember, you've never been loved before. You don't even know what that is.
Mm. Now, I had an associate who their spouse was considered very, very attractive. You know, a lot of women chased him a lot, but he married her, you know, because, you know, she was a pleasant person, very kind, very loving. But she perceived herself as lucky to get him because he was so sought after and considered so, you know, good-looking and all of that. And when he began to openly be, you know, involved with other women, her response was, well, you know, so what, he married me, I'm the one he comes home to. And that was her choice. But then he began to be a bit disrespectful to her even publicly and, you know, bring his associates around her and everything, and they would openly flirt, and, you know, he might even, you know, oh, I got to drive so-and-so home. And you know, I mean, he was obviously involved with someone all in her face. And her position was, well, you know, but he's still mine. And now my thought on relationships are whatever you agree to, well, that's your business. Nobody has a right to tell you, well, you shouldn't take that, you shouldn't take that. That's what she chose. But it seemed that the more she took, the more emboldened he became to parade it so that everyone knew. And then at one point they were at a public place, and he was openly flirtatious with several other women. Everybody knew his wife sitting over there in the corner, and he was like, oh, she ain't going nowhere, you know. And so it was kind of, he was like, he was bragging, like, I can do anything to her and she's just going to stay. And, you know, and she was sitting there looking kind of sad and everything, and he went on off with someone else, and she ended up driving herself home and all of that. And, again, you know, everybody makes their own choices. But the thought is that helpful in the sense of it's not making your spouse more respectful of you, it's not making other women more respectful of your relationship, it's not displaying what you deserve in terms of treatment publicly by someone who's supposed to be your loving spouse. It's as if he makes a mockery of you because you are so loyal. Now, again, everybody's own personal business. If that's your relationship, that's what you agree to, no one has a right to interfere or even have an opinion. But if people who care about you, because her family's very angry at him, but, you know, your family doesn't have a right to tell you to leave someone unless they're saying, well, here, come stay with me, you know, but they're angry because they see her hurt. So in that instance, if a person has chosen to stay where they feel, you know, well, at least I'm lucky to have him or whatever the case may be, you know, ultimately, is that simply their choice, or do they need to develop more self-esteem just to not be treated that way? But if they've agreed to it, then I guess they will. Okay, well, maybe it's not hurting anybody since that's what she's agreed to.
It is hurting. Invisible loyalty, that's what that's called. That's invisible loyalty, which is, it's not, and the reason why we call it invisible loyalty is because deep down inside, there's no present, the reason is deep down inside. So outside, there's no present. Everybody's looking at why you, I don't understand, why are you in this relationship? Because that person doesn't make it known that this is the reason why I'm in this. It's deep down inside them. That's because they have made a commitment to adapt to dysfunction, which deep down inside them is things are happening inside that they don't even know, that they're feeding depression, they're feeding anxiety, they're feeding sickness, because we are not supposed to be in a dysfunctional relationship. It's not healthy. Even though you can tell yourself that everything is okay all you want to, but you're putting yourself into an area where you're being disrespected and not valued. So the question is, what is the hold? See, you got a hold factor, H-O-L-D, the hold factor. Why are you in that holding spot? What is it that you are obtaining to be in that holding area? And, you know, again, you know why? They're focused on the idol. The idol is the prize. Mm. Let's keep it real. They think it's prize. They're focused on the idol. They got an idol relationship with their significant other.
Yeah. I have his pride. I got him. Look how he looks, but I have him. Even if he treats me like trash,
That's dysfunctional, Naima.
Mm.
Because he don't have nobody. It's invisible. It doesn't even exist.
Mm.
Literally. It's in their mind. In their mind. Because, again, their self-esteem, their self-worth is not intact. Because we know common, logical, rational, we know how can one have value when one is being devalued openly? How could you not see that? How could you not feel devalued? Because, again, this is your idol. Oh, they can do anything they want to do to me. And they don't understand they're feeding deep down inside. There's a lot of emotional, a lot of mental, a lot of spiritual vexness there. Vexness. I have to use that word. You know what I'm saying? Because they're putting themselves in a holding spot and in captivity and don't realize they are taking away from their life when they can heal and move on and get someone that actually, if they, and then another thing, let me mention it. They don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
They don't like the feeling of not being alone with themselves.
Yeah.
That is. So they rather stay in dysfunctional relationships because they don't want to feel
alone. Right. Well, we got to take a break. And, of course, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 so you can talk to Dr. Debbie Green.
And subscribe to our YouTube channel because we got great information that comes all week long, but especially every Thursday. And I want to know what you think. Leave a comment, please.
Definitely.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Join us every second Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show for Neighborship of Joy.
We'll have powerful conversations inviting women to walk in the light.
So call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak to the host.
You can also join us live on the Female Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel.
See you on the second Saturday on the Neighborship of Joy.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Conversations with couples over the last several years, just because a lot of the work that needs to be done, even with dysfunctional children, has to do with dysfunctional relationships, and a lot of it has to do with broken relationships, and so much of the underlying reason why a relationship is broken is because of infidelity. And, you know, we've talked about a lot what people's intentions are when you get together with someone. What are your goals? What are your intentions? What's your objective? Or is it just, somebody I want to have sex with and they no longer excite me, I leave. You know, I mean, what is the understanding that people come into relationships with that would hold them and help them maintain a family? So now with a lot of women that I've spoken to that stay in situations where the men are pretty much still acting like they're a single male, you know, I got this one here and this one here and this one here, and then I got my wife who has my children that I acknowledge, and I got some other ones that got children that I don't really quite acknowledge, but, you know, that's the life. A lot of the women are of the philosophy, well, I should stay for the children because if I don't, I mean, he's the one that's got the money and when we need the financial assistance. And then, on the other hand, I've talked to the ones that say, well, I left because he was not loyal and I'm the single mother, but since he was not loyal, I'm not letting him see his children. So, you know, I've talked to a lot of men who are angry because they feel like just because I had a relationship outside my marriage doesn't mean I should be not allowed to father my children even though I'm no longer with her. And she chose to leave. I mean, she could have chosen to forgive me or she could have chosen to overlook it or whatever. So this whole thing of whether you stay with someone when you find you're no longer their exclusive partner, or whether you leave them, or if you stay with them, is it disrespectful? I find that is such, it's such an overwhelming issue in our being able to maintain families. And the whole thing of what does it mean if you say you're going to be someone's exclusive partner, you form a family, and then you change your mind and do something else, what should be the response? Is loyalty a sign that you don't respect yourself, or is loyalty a sign that you think it's more important to keep the family intact or the appearance of a family intact, even though that person is no longer following the agreement of your exclusivity? So I think there's just a lot of, confusion over what is the right thing to do. And I've had a lot of conversations, and sometimes it just comes down to the confusion of, well, if I leave, then my children won't have a father. And I'm not saying it's just women who, are going through this, because there's some men who might feel like, and it's not, I don't find a whole lot of men who stay after infidelity as much as women, because women have kind of been conditioned to that. Men tend to get full of rage and want to either kill the woman, kill the man, kill the other woman, and kill the woman and the other man, and all that. You know, they tend to express their rage about it more. Women tend to, like you said, go through the depression and internalize, well, I must not be good enough, I must not be pretty enough, I must not be young enough. You know, all those, they blame themselves because someone makes a choice to get emotionally and physically involved with someone else. Men get angry and want to, hurt somebody. But there seems to be a lot of confusion over what is the best response in that situation. And my question is, what is the healthy way to have an agreement with someone once you've decided this is going to be my exclusive partner? What is the healthiest agreement that two people can make? I'm almost like, I guess, a prenuptial. Okay, if you change your mind, you decide you really want to be free of this, then this is how we're going to end it so that we maintain respect.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to do that?
Absolutely. That's called mutual relationship. When people, I know people that have a mutual relationship with their partners that they might have been married to for a period of years and find out, that it's not working anymore, and they do have children, and they really sit down and they tell their children, well, mommy and daddy, will not be staying in the same house anymore, what I'm saying? And then you have some of them, they still stay in the same house, but they are exiting, but they have not just exited yet. But just being honest and upfront with the children, it's the ones who are old enough to understand. And, of course, sometimes it does affect a child. Matter of fact, most of the time it does. It affects the child when there is any type of breakup in a relationship.
Yeah.
But there is a mutual understanding with that. See, this is when loyalty becomes trustworthy. When loyalty becomes trustworthy and it's not disloyal, then that's when everything is okay, because now we can communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We can communicate with each other and find out what is the best thing to do in the situation so that the children are not hurt, especially when children are involved. But, again, most people stay in their dysfunction. Oh, I just want my child to have a father or mother or whatever the case may be. But then not noticing that the child is greatly affected by a dysfunctional relationship would be silly to do so, because that child knows, unless it's very young and don't have any sense of understanding, But if it's 8 or older, they know that there's something wrong. So you staying in a dysfunctional relationship is not helping the child.
Right. Well, usually what I see is even though a person may stay with someone and they're angry over the infidelity, they express that anger in the household by things they say, even if it's just meanness at their spouse because you're mad because, you know, or you're suspicious every time they leave the house or you're accusing them. But all the energy of that anger is in the house, even though you might stay and you say, yeah, I'm staying for my child. But like you say, the child or children see that there is dysfunction, and they know the reason for it. I mean, they hear the phone conversations, even if you're not telling them, well, you know, so-and-so is cheating on me with such-and-such a woman. You're talking about it on your phone. They listen to your conversations with your friends. They know the intimacies of all your business, and they see the anger. And, I mean, I've seen people even sort of include their children in the anger, like, we're mad.
Yes.
And that's so destructive. And I'm thinking, well, what's the point of being in a marriage, being in a relationship where you're angry and you feel disrespected, but you won't leave? And I've even had women say, well, I'm not giving him a divorce. You know, I'm not letting her win. And I'm like, but how is this a contest if there is no more love between you to the point where your child is in the household feeling all this hostility, and you will not let the marriage go because it's not bringing you a sense of being respected? What are you winning? And that's that. I see that situation over and over and over again. So it's like I'm staying, and I'm gonna keep my man, but the love relationship isn't there. So what are you being loyal to, or what are you holding on to? I don't know. They say maybe you idolize them, or maybe you just think this is the prize that I'm going to win. I mean, when I heard I'm not going to let her win, I'm like, this is a contest? You know, when did it become a contest and not a relationship? So what is a healthy way then? Well, you said, you know, you sit down with children and say, okay, me and your father, we're not going to stay in the same house. We still love you, but we're no longer going to be a married couple, or whatever the case may be. Are people able to get to that point of maturity where they can release someone from an agreement that they're no longer agreeing to and it not be hostile and hurtful for children or other affected family members?
I think so, too, if they have got a form of forgiveness, though. See, the thing about it is it has to be, different things that have to take place. That person has to forgive that other person and have come to a state of mind where, you know, oh, I'm ready to move on without any hostility or any animosity or any of that in my heart. You see what I'm saying? Because if they're still holding unforgiveness, no, that's not going to happen. Mm. See, when people hold unforgiveness in there, it turns toxic. Like you said, you know, they want to get a gun and kill everybody. Mm. They don't want no one to be alive, not even themselves.
Mm.
So now that betrayal that was happening back and forth to the point where, well, if I can't have you, nobody will.
Yeah.
Now it's toxic.
Yeah. Now that, I've seen that, where it gets to the point where you are afraid to leave because that person has become or was always so possessive. You were a possession. And because mm-hmm. our legal system was so male-dominated for so long, those kinds of murders, if somebody killed their wife's lover, you know, courts wouldn't convict them, or temporary insanity, or justifiable homicide, or whatever, because the thought was, it's okay for you to express that kind of rage because this is your wife, this is your possession. She had no right to share her body with someone else, and it was justifiable that you kill that person who took something from you. So that is another thing. your body belongs to you. It doesn't belong to the other person. So no one has the right to kill you if you choose to share it with someone else. But if you've made an agreement that you are going to be exclusively intimate with that person and you change your mind, there should be a way that you can, with honesty and integrity, tell that other person, I am now attracted to someone else, and in respect to you, I want to be honest and say, I no longer want to be exclusively in this relationship. Now, if you're not married, well, okay, you haven't signed any papers, haven't made any vows, the law is not involved in your relationship, so you don't have to do anything legal. It's just your emotional tie. But if you're married, then that person needs to decide, okay, well, since we're no longer exclusively emotionally intimate, we need to decide, are we going to dissolve our legal ties? And if we choose to do that, then even that should be something that doesn't have to involve lawyers and everything, if you're, who's ever mature enough for that? But if we got to that level of maturity where you could then make a decision that you don't want to be tied to someone who is not being your exclusive intimate partner, that's a decision, that's a choice. The dysfunction comes in when people feel that if someone changes on the inside and is now involved with someone else, you're feeling like they've injured you, therefore you need to injure them. I need to hurt them financially. I need to hurt them emotionally. I need to hurt them physically instead of just respecting their free will to change. It's a disappointment, and when you marry someone, it is an agreement that you're not going to change, but people do change. So there should be a higher spiritual quality that we follow when it comes to respecting other people's free will to change their feelings or to even develop feelings for someone else, and the responsibility that they have if they have made an exclusive commitment is to be honest with that person and tell them that they can no longer, or they no longer desire to live within that exclusive commitment. And then both people need to make a decision. Since that's the case, then we need to end our relationship. Or if you decide, well, okay, fine, I'll accept the fact that you're also seeing other people, then that frees me to also free other people. I mean, I know people who live in the same house. Like I say, it's cheaper to keep her. They live in the same house. You know, she got a boyfriend, he got a girlfriend, but they live together because they spent, you know, 20, 30 years paying for this house. So, okay, that's the agreement they made. That's fine. That's their business. And if everybody's happy, that's fine. But in those situations where someone's angry and wanting to hurt someone, that's where I see the dysfunction. You know, because you can't own someone's relationship. You can't own someone's emotions. You can't own their physical body. Everybody's here on their own free will. You can't own a person. You have an agreement that you're going to have a union. And when someone changes their mind about that agreement, you should be able to dissolve the union without hostility.
Doesn't work that way all the time.
So is there a way to teach that? Because at some point, we can't just keep having, you know, if you leave me, I'll kill you, or if you leave me, I'm going to bankrupt you. We can't keep doing that, because what are we doing to our children? We see what we're doing to them. We see how they're responding. They're responding with anger, violence, hurt, pain. You know, so we got to do something other than what we're doing, because what we're doing doesn't work. And we have to teach people how to be in relationships and teach them how to end them civilly and without emotional or physical violence. Is it possible to teach people that?
Well, the thing about this is they've been in the relationship so long of dysfunction, Naima. You have done what? Okay, it's just like, if you build a house of dysfunction, okay? And from the foundation, it started off, even before the marriage was, it was dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. But you continue, you got these dysfunctional people, because it's not, nothing is one side, you know, one shame on you, on me, then twice shame on you, okay, but I'm still in this. If I'm still in this dysfunctional relationship, then I'm becoming this dysfunction. I am compromised with misery. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, all I understand what you're saying, but they have compromised with misery. Two individuals mm-hmm. are miserable. You know? So neither one of them know any healing because they have compromised with misery. So that's the reason why things turn out the way they do. It's because that person, no one is the bigger person to say, you know, let me walk away. And even when you do want to walk away, the person that's dysfunctional, that's been dysfunctional for a long period of time, no, I want you to stay in this misery with me. I don't want you to leave.
You can't leave.
Because you said you was going to be here. Mm. So now you want to abandon me? You want to go off into someone else's life that's not dysfunctional?
Mm.
You know, bringing it, it's a good chance they're going to bring that same dysfunction if they haven't healed to the new relationship. Now, that person, if the other person's not smart, they're going to compromise with that same misery.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So this is why it's an ongoing effect. Like you said, how can you teach people? That's not the thing about this is how can people unlearn? They have to unlearn. Mm. You know, teaching them, they have to want to come out. You have some people who are in denial, some people who are afraid, far as fearfully. Oh, if I leave this relationship, something's going to happen to me. I have to be in this relationship because of my children. I have to be in this relationship because of my in-laws. You know, you have so many different. Money plays a big role and factor why a person is in a dysfunctional relationship.
Mm.
Money.
Yeah.
So I stay in there because I don't want to go into poverty. So I stay in this yeah. relationship. You see what I'm saying?
Now this
and
is,
we know it's dysfunctional. They totally know. It doesn't work anymore. They totally know that. So it's expense to the children. It's expense to everything. Everything, again, is dysfunctional because all the roles are in reversal.
Now, this is a conversation that I had with a group of men not long ago. And they were talking about the whole idea of women expecting men who are wealthy, famous, or, you know, in prominent positions to be loyal in a relationship. And they said that's unrealistic. She should know when she got in that relationship with this man that he was going to have several other women because of who he is, you know, whether he's an athlete or an entertainer or, you know, doctor, lawyer, whatever, somebody who makes a large sum of money and attracts a lot of women. I was told by these men, women know that they're not the only one. They can choose to pretend like they are, but they know they're not. Because of who he is and what he has, he has the power to attract many. And if she chooses to marry him, then she's basically in it for the finances. And he knows if he leaves her that he's going to have to pay a lot of money. So he'll choose to stay rather than pay, you know, the alimony, child support, and all that, and be all over the news and talk about. He'll choose to hold on to that relationship, but they might not even be intimate anymore. And he might have several other women he's really intimate with, and she's just basically the convenient one for the public face. But she knows that this is what that is when she got into it, because this is how these men are. Women know this. That's what I was told by men. Women know this. So they agree to this. So why would they be angry when he's got other women? Because they knew that about him when they got in that relationship. Is that a truth about our culture, you know, loyalty, fidelity, in terms of emotional and physical intimacy is not expected if you're wealthy and a male, and women who are involved in those relationships they are already conditioned to accept that that's going to be the way the relationship is, and what they have is the legalities of, if you leave, then I sue you for everything that you have, so that's my hold on you to stay. And you might have children in that relationship where they see there's no love there, but there's money. So, you know, what they're learning is find somebody with money. That's the lesson. Is that the way our culture is now? And what is that doing? How, what is that creating in terms of future relationships?
Well, again, we go back to money. We go back to money. So people are willing to do whatever it is just to have money. Money and status. And status. Let's not forget that. Okay? Money and status. But then, again, they're looked at as just being pawns and just in the barrel. That's it. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, a lot of these women that are involved with these celebrities, the first thing they want to do is have an heir, which is a baby, okay? Because they know once they have that baby, then they're good, because that person is going to continue to be in their lives. And not just personally, they'll be in their lives giving them money.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So that's an invisible loyalty, you know, to it. Is it healthy? They don't care if it's healthy or not. You have some that really care and they get devoted to them, and they still go on with their lives, you know, and they continue to have other relationships. It doesn't matter. But in the normalcy of things, you know, I mean, when they're in these relationships are dysfunctional for whatever reason, and then they make decisions, oh, I no longer want to be in a relationship because, all right, and you're like, wait a minute, I don't understand. I was there for you. I was there for you when no one else was. Okay, so I think you should be loyal to me, okay? Again, we go back to the invisible loyalty. Because, you know, most people don't really think about loyalty in a relationship. Now, you have some people who've been married for years and years and years. And we've seen that. We've seen people be married for 50 and 60 years with the same person. The question is, if we look really deep down into that relationship, was they always loyal to that person? Or was it because, you know, infidelity can, again, occur in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be an act, you know, but it can occur in the mind.
Right.
So we go back into that. But, again, it is what a person is compromising to. And we must remember that. Mm-hmm. If you're compromised and if you're compromising any relationship that is not healthy, because what's unhealthy? Lies, deceit, betrayal, you know what I'm saying, abuse.
I got another question on that, but we got to take a break. But I got another question when we come back from the break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1, and you're ready to ask Dr. W a question. And if you're on our switchboard now and got a question you'd like to ask, press 1. We'll open your mic and get your thoughts. We'll be right back after this quick break, so stick and stay. Don't stray away. We will be back after these brief messages, so stay with us.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self, cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
D.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code TheFemaleSolution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
My name is Sarka Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of The Female Solution. And I tell you, she is shocked about this topic today because we're like, oh, my goodness.
Well, I've had a lot of conversations
lately. No, she didn't help me. I just want people to know that it's okay for you not to live a life of dysfunction. You don't have to. It's not, I mean, don't be afraid to step out on your own faith, you know, to get your thing together. I mean, you've never been there before. You've never done it before. So quite naturally, it's going to be odd to you. But allow yourself to look at life from a different platform, a different option in life, you know. We don't need people to live. No, we want them in our lives, but we don't absolutely need them to live.
No, you don't need them.
No, you don't need them. See, that's the difference. Yeah. You want and you desire.
But you don't need them.
People, but you don't need them.
And sometimes no. I think things happen so that people can learn that lesson. You are self-sufficient in just yourself. You don't need a person to have joy. You don't need a person to experience an event, you know, I can't go to this, I don't have anybody to go with. You don't have to always have an escort or a companion. You can enjoy, then you go to a restaurant you like, you can go to a movie that you like, you can go roller skating, you can go, you know, any kind of thing you want to do. You can travel, you can do it by yourself. Yeah, it's nice when you have a companion, but if you don't, it's okay, because you can meet people where you're at. And
right.
I think we tend to think that we're incomplete if we don't have a person. Now, I've got a question. And someone asked me, because they're going through this in their relationship, they fear that their husband is emotionally involved with someone that they're working with. And this is such a common thing, you know, person at the office, suddenly he's working later, certainly, oh, I got to work on a project with this person. Oh, well, I got to keep calling this person because we work on a project together. So she's feeling this is more than just a work relationship. You know, they go out to dinner. They go out to lunch. Oh, we got this project. Oh, we have to discuss. Oh, we got a meeting. And you know, she overheard a conversation, and she said it didn't sound like business. It sounded like, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend kind of talk. And so she's very angry, and she wanted to know, should she confront him about her suspicions? And she asked my opinion. Now, I know that my opinion on relationships is a lot different than other people's because of how I see relationships. They are totally free will. You don't own anyone's emotions. If your belief is that your agreement is I have exclusive ownership of your emotions, and I'm suspecting that you are sharing intimate emotions with someone else and maybe even a physical experience with someone else, then for you, does that mean the relationship is over, if that's what you believe your agreement is? But, you know, I think she wanted me to say, well, you should confront that other woman, tell her, stay away from your man. You know, that's not what I said. You know, I said, he has free will. If this is someone he enjoys being with, that's his decision. Now, are you feeling like you can forbid him to be with that person because it seems to be evolving into more than a work relationship? Well, in reality, even if you're married, no, you do not. He has his own free will. What you have the power to do is choose whether or not you want to remain in a relationship with him if he is, in fact, emotionally and or physically involved with another woman. That's the only power that you have, to decide whether or not you want to stay or go. You can't make him not feel. You can't make him not call her. You can't make him not talk to her. You can't, because he has free will. You, even if you have a marriage, you don't own that person, and you can't control their feelings. She didn't like my answer. So, you know, I'm going to put that question to you. You know, they're married. This is her husband. They've been married for a number of years. They do have some children, and her feeling is that her husband may be what they call cheating with another woman. Should she confront him? And if, you know, how should she respond based on how he responds?
Well, I mean, the thing about this is if she's picking up that energy, I'm sure she picked it up a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the first time she picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Energy like that usually gives you a sign that something needs to be considered and pay attention to. I mean, you're not just paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only way to get the answer is to question the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way to do it. I mean, you do it out of love. You just say, ask that person first. You know, I just want to let you know, I'm feeling some type of way, and I just want to find out if my feelings are genuine. I care enough for you to come to you in all sincerity and respect and not accuse you of anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I am feeling some type of way about the actions that I've heard, seen, you know, been exposed to. So are you loyal to me?
Is there a way
to ask that person? No, you have to ask them just like that. Are you cheating on me?
Mm-hmm.
Because you already accused them of something if you asked them that way. You have to ask them, are you loyal to me? And let them answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they say no, okay, I said, well, from where I sit, this is what I saw. This is what I know. This is what I hear. So why do you think I'm feeling this way? And you ask them that question. Why do you think that I'm feeling this way based upon the evidence that you've given me? And they may come again, oh, I don't know. So I may totally evade the whole answer together. Now, if they're totally evading it and they don't want to talk about it, that's a good sign right there that there's some truth in the matter. Because if a person is not doing anything, they will clearly explain to them, well, you saw this way, but this is what's going on. Okay, well, let's do this so that it can help me. And if that's the case, let's all have a meeting. Let's all have a meeting. Let's have a meeting where you and that your the person that's working with you, your staff, your secretary, or whoever it is, I would like to have a meeting with them. He said, "What's the meeting for? What's the use of that?" Oh, because I would like you to introduce me to them. Is that okay with you? Now, if you're not hiding anything, then there shouldn't be anything done. Oh, yeah, sure. I can invite her over for dinner, or we can, you know, come to the restaurant, or whatever the case is. You can show up. And when you're there, I'm talking about the woman, that is, notice the actions of the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Notice their body language. Everything about them, you will be able to see the truth. You don't have to say anything. It will be, if she's uncomfortable, that's the reason.
Mm-hmm.
If she, you'll know if she's uncomfortable, because her body language is going to show you that she, hello, how you doing? I'm so-and-so's wife. No, he needs to introduce you. You don't need to introduce yourself. This is my wife.
Right.
Well, hello, how you doing? I heard so much about you. And it was good things. I noticed that y'all are working on a project together. I mean, I think that is awesome. How is that coming along? When you start talking to them in a nice, assertive, kind way, you're going to know that she's uncomfortable because it is going to, something you're going to say is going to make her uncomfortable. And you'll be able to see that. And when you say, you don't say anything at that time. You just sit there and you have your lunch and you exit. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into the pastime with you and your husband, I noticed that she was a little uncomfortable then. Why do you think that? Why do you think she was uncomfortable? Oh, this was the first time she ever met you.
Why
I thought you talked about me several times. I don't understand. Did she not know you were married? See, now you're getting into something where you are going to put yourself in a position to somebody come out and tell you what the truth is. Now that invisible loyalty that you had, now you become an investigator. No, you ain't paranoid now. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't be paranoid doing it. You can't do it out of fear. You're doing it out of curiosity. Because you want the truth. That's all you want. And rather, it may be, again, remember I told you, infidelity is not always physical. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It may be an emotional and a mental obligation that person, I just like being around you. I like being in your company. Because my wife is just kind of whatever. But I like being around you. And it may be some brushes. It may be some hand-holding. It may be, you know, before it really starts to develop into something, or it may just be the full enchilada. You see what I'm saying? But the only way for her to know is to keep her posture.
Yeah, be willing to
and not be
open.
The angry.
Yeah,
not be the angry, you know, wife.
Yeah, angry, angry, jealous wife, angry, suspicious wife. I think that makes a lot of sense to be the one who is willing to meet the person that, you know, if your husband's spending all this time and he's working and now he's working more late, doing more projects with this person. Well, you know, if you're his wife, you know, why shouldn't you meet his coworker? And why should anybody feel uncomfortable unless there's something hidden that either of them feel is incorrect? So, now, I guess a lot of women tend to approach it with the accusation. Like you said, don't say, oh, you cheating on me? Because, you know, of course, the response is to lie. Well, no.
Never let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. That's what they do wrong. What you're doing, you're giving a person a step up when you do that. Because they already know. If they're cheating and you tell them they cheat, they're not going to come out and tell you that. Unless you got one of them really bold ones, okay? Yeah, I'm cheating. Ain't nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't
you know,
like it, get out.
Cool.
You know, I'm paying the rent, so you don't like it, leave. Oh, okay, what do you do?
Yeah, you have some that literally will say that.
Yeah.
It's because they know they have a control factor over that individual. That's the reason why they get bold like that.
Mm.
But again, when you are in a position like that and you know that somebody is not honest to you, you don't want to just come out and tell them what you know. No, you lay back and you just wait, because there's going to come a time when you build your evidence. You build your evidence, because infidelity is real, and it's right now, it's busting the court systems wide open right now as we speak. Either a person's going to handle this in a civil matter, which is going through the court system, divorcing, whoever can play alimony, deuces, I talk to you later, or they get angry and pick up guns,
mm-hmm.
or try to kill someone over insurance money. Oops.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now this is
all right, because I might as well get rid of you, because you don't value me any.
Yeah, but I'm gonna get paid, you know.
I've
seen that.
Doctor Devin ain't telling y'all to do that now, okay? Please.
We're just saying what has happened. Yeah.
I want the mutual. I want people to handle things out of kindness, because again, when you compromise with misery plays a key statement. It plays the keys. You got to know what you say yes to every day. Mm. Every day you going to say yes to it?
Mm.
Okay, I'm going to allow you to do me any kind of way. Yes, that's fine. And the more you say yes, the more angry you get, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Then that anger turns toxic.
Yes. Well, now, is there a way?
Stay anger.
Yes. Well, is there a way, though, if a woman, because like you say, women can feel things. You know, we're very intuitive and very attuned to our mates and all of that. So you can feel when there is emotions going somewhere else. Is there a way to ask a question that doesn't feel like I'm trying to trap you in a lie, you know, I'm asking you about this person, and then you say it's nothing happening, but then somebody else said that they saw y'all out in the restaurant, and you were kissing and all this business, so obviously it wasn't, you know, friendship, because it was romantic, so why are you lying? I mean, is there a way to be able to get a person to be honest without fear of punishment? I mean, you remember when we were children, and, you know, your mother comes home, you accidentally, you know, knocked over the expensive vase because you were playing in the house like she told you not to, and then she comes and says, who broke this vase? Now, do I say yes and get a beating because that's the consequence, or do I say yes knowing that her response is going to be, okay, well, you need to clean it up and you need to, you know, pay for this out of your allowance. We can buy another. You need to be responsible for what you've done. And you can handle that because that's a reasonable reaction to something that you've broken. But if the response you know is going to be irrational, you know, I'm going to get my belt and whip you, well, of course I'm going to say, no, I don't know how that happened. Because you know the response is going to be harsh. So if a person is going to get their spouse or committed other to be honest about having broken a promise of exclusivity, can they do it in such a way where that person knows, if I am honest, there will not be this harsh consequence, well, you pack your stuff and get out, you know, that kind of thing. You know, is there a way to ask and a way to make it clear that if this is the case, then we're going to handle it in a way that's mutually respectful, as opposed to it being punitive and destructive to both our lives, so the only recourse you have is to lie about it. So, you know, can a person ask, have you developed feelings for someone else? You know, and I think, you know, we should talk about it so that we can make a rational decision about what's best based on our current living arrangement and the fact that I would want to feel that the person that I'm living with is exclusively emotionally intimate with me and exclusively physically intimate with me. And if that's not what our agreement is, then we need to be able to talk about that and decide what's the best thing for us to do. I mean, is there, and I know usually people are not rational when they're angry and jealous, but is there a way for...
Okay, I didn't think you realized that all that you went through, because...
Yeah. No, now, who's rational at that point, right? But
no, they are not, Naima. You're talking about the person. Again, how can you expect a rational response when something's irrational?
So then we're back to, you know,
angry.
The mother that says,
no,
did you break this vase? And you're going to say no because you don't want the beating.
I'm just saying, hurt
so
people
how are
you going to
keep the person from lying if they know what the consequence is going to be, if they're honest?
Hurt people are angry.
Yeah.
So you're asking me a question, and I'm saying very seldom that people handle anger very calmly, you know? Some people do, but not everybody, and not everybody does that. You know what I'm saying? So again, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. You know, they're going to be disappointed either way. It don't matter. So rather, you might as well go ahead and tell the truth. Yes, I did it. You know, I did it. I mean, it's nothing else I can do at this point because it's already done. You know, I mean, whatever consequence that comes after that, I put myself in that position. I have to take that consequence.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it's not something I want, but that's what it is, you know. And even before all of that happened, again, like I said, this is stuff that's been happening in the smallest of details. And now it's to the biggest of details. So they didn't do anything when it was starting off, and there's a good chance they're not going to do anything even after the case is,
yeah.
You know?
I mean,
so they find themselves in the same relationship patterns, and things are just getting worse until they say no more and remove themselves out of it, you know, constantly. Oh, and this is the part that gets me. I'm constantly bickering with this individual. We can't even talk about food. I don't even like the way they eat. I'm sitting at the table. That's just how bad it is. But I'm sitting here every single day knowing that this relationship has ended.
And still, I will not let it go. And what's the purpose of that? Now, this is what I was told by several men, that if a man is cheating, and if he is financially stable, then he doesn't really care if the woman knows, because she knows she's dependent on him, so she has to stay no matter what he does, and she knows that, so he doesn't have to care. But if he is financially dependent on her and he's cheating, he will lie about it because he knows the consequences that she's going to put him out. But I was told that the honesty depends on your financial security. If you're the one who's paying all the bills, you do whatever you want to do. And she's going to take it because she's depending on your money, especially if you have lots of it. But if you're depending on her, you're the one who is depending on her paying the bills because you're between jobs or got a low-paying job or whatever, you're going to lie, because the consequence would be that you lose your secure place to stay, because she's going to be so angry that she puts you out the house. So this is, and you know, this was explained to me that this is the rules basically when it comes to infidelity and cheating, depending on the strength of your finances, whether or not you will be honest about it. So what are your thoughts on that?
Again, I can't give another answer to something that is the same thing. No matter how you twist it or conform it, it is the same. You're compromising with misery. All of this is so many different excuses and explanations of why a person would constantly stay in a relationship that's unhealthy. It's unhealthy. Because they're being affected by it. Every time, it's just like being in the bed, and everywhere, you know, you lay in the bed, then you get uncomfortable. Then you move another position. You lay there, then you get uncomfortable. Then you lay there again, you know, you toss and turn, and you're not getting any rest.
You're comfortable no matter what you do.
Because the bed is the one that's un-
Wow.
It is the best.
Well, we got to take our last break. We got a couple callers on the line that want to make a comment. And we invite you all.
It's the best.
Well, you know, a lot of people stay for...
here we go again. That's excuses.
But, you know...
Excuses do not explain. Explanations do not give any justification to dysfunction. It just doesn't. This is what people have been doing like for eons. Oh, let me stay where I am. It's easy for me to stay in the familiarity of pain than to move away to get healed.
So the fear is what I'm leaving.
The unknown.
The fear of the unknown. What I'm going to experience is going to be worse than what I'm suffering with now. So,
but
they're
telling themselves that they don't have no truth in that. There's no truth in it. It's fear saying the uncertainty, because they'd rather stay in dysfunction than move away and then create another life. They don't want to create, they'd rather sit there and complain. Go ahead.
Wow. Let's take our last break. Feel free to call in and express a different opinion. If what you heard, you got another thought about it, you know, we want to hear your opinion. 515-605-9325 and press 1, and we'll take your calls after this last break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Dr. Debbie Green, with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of the Female Solution. So let's take those callers, please.
All righty, got some calls on the board, and I'll take in this order, 773-450, 773-737, and 312-671. So just hold tight, and we'll take you in that order. Anybody else on the switchboard that got a comment, press 1. We'll get you as well. All right, 773-450, Grand Rising, thank you for joining us. Give us your question or comment for Dr. Debbie Green.
Good morning.
773-450.
Grand Rising, Green to all. You know,
I'm sorry?
Are you there? Yeah, good morning, how are you, Greens, and Grand Rising to all.
Yes, Grand Rising,
Grand
thank
Rising.
You so much.
Who was speaking
yeah,
to?
This is Obadiah. I had a question. See, a lot of times I think traditional society decides that we should choose people based on the wrong thing, like how good you look. That's not really a good example of choosing a mate, just because
mm-hmm.
they look good. You've got big legs. No, that won't work. If you meet somebody that is along the pathway of your journey in life, that's the best person to get with, whomever they may be. You have to be on the same pathway, hopefully. So you should know what your path is. If you don't know that, you might get with anybody. But to get with people for these other reasons that they say, it's no wonder that most of the relationships end up in divorce because they're not even compatible in a basic sense. You know what I mean? Before, you know, a whole person gets with another whole person and then they have a whole relationship. But if you get with somebody that don't even know who they are, and here you are dragging them along to try to find out. That just doesn't work. We got to hold on. When you're going to be in a relationship, you got to have something to bring to it. And you get two talents tied together. Now you got something going. But just, oh, you look cute and we can get in bed, that just don't do nothing but create babies. And then who's going to take care of the children? You certainly can't take care of them laying around in bed somewhere.
I got a question, Obadiah. I was told by men that this is how they're taught, that this is the reason why you choose a woman. You find somebody that looks good, that, you know, treats you nice or whatever, and you stay with her until she no longer excites you. Maybe she's, you know, not looking good anymore or whatever, and then you find somebody else. That's how they're taught to choose a reason.
It's a wrong reason for somebody because you don't even know who they are other than she's cute. And that just doesn't get it. First of all, I'm just saying this because it's just a shift in thought. Because most of the time, people get together out of desperation more than anything. Oh, boy, you got a girlfriend and I don't. Oh, boy, I must got to get me one. So you got a million websites for dating, right? And then my other friend says, well, it seems like the way dating websites just allow men to have 20 women. So I don't know. So it just depends on the individual. But I'm just saying, as far as relationships and how they work, sometimes people hang on because they are not sure, or maybe they are more certain of how you're going to treat them. Even if it's bad, they'd rather be knowledgeable than not know. But once again, that's making a mistake. So like I said, the last piece is this. Oftentimes, people think you got to get in a relationship because you got commonality. That doesn't have anything to do with it. You know, relationships have so many baskets that you got to really try to fill. That is a lot. And it ain't about money, and it ain't about just being in bed. So there's a whole bunch of baskets to fill to make a relationship work. We got to work on that. That's what makes it work. Otherwise, sad to say, I have some friends that just had a baby recently. They couldn't get along in the first place, and they get pregnant. Now, their anger and their bitterness and breakup attitude is going to affect the new baby they got. And I told both of them that, hey, y'all got to get along for the sake of the baby, because if that baby thinks that they broke y'all up, the baby's going to blame themselves. So you got to be careful.
Thank you, Obadiah.
Develop yourself first, and then you find out who is in your pathway based on what you're supposed to do on a higher level, not just, oh, I want to like her because she's cute. No, that does not work. You need somebody to help you to do a bigger job. Somebody that can help you get to the, where you all can combine talents and do something for the next generation. How about that?
Well, that sounds ideal. Yeah, what do you think, Dr. Debbie? Thank you, Obadiah. Yes.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Well, that's falling in love on face value, what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Like, you know, well, again, you know, we cannot fall in love for skin deep, okay?
Right.
You know, you better look a little deeper because it may cost you your life. Everything that look good ain't good, okay?
Yeah.
So,
well, I hear that story.
You gotta look a little deeper.
Right. I mean, I hear that story all the time. And you know, male friends that I have and they've broken up and I say, well, you know, what brought you together? Well, you know, she was fine. I said, well, what else? Well, I mean, I didn't really, you know, look at nothing else. I said, well, what did you all talk about? Well, we didn't really talk. I'm like, well, what kind of relationship did you have? Okay, you got together. She was cute. You had sex.
That was it.
And they didn't know that it was supposed to be something else. Like he's saying, it's supposed all this deeper thing. Most men are not taught that, but I can't say most. I don't know the percentages. But I find a large number, maybe even a majority of men, are not taught that a relationship is supposed to be deeper than just your physical attraction. And, you know, if she's nice to you and she looks good and you have sex, okay, now we're in a relationship. You know, they're not taught it's about mutual goals or vision of what you're trying to achieve. They're not taught that. So when the relationship ends, they don't really know why it ends, or they don't even know why it doesn't work, because they didn't know that it's the two souls that are joining, and your soul is not your physical body. Your body is just a vehicle for your soul, but they're not taught that, so they don't know.
Well, you know, because men, I had a good friend of mine tell me, he was a man, he said men are led by their eyes and women are led by their heart.
Yeah.
He said that's the reason why it's like that. You know,
yeah.
We see, you know, men see surface. And, you know, I mean, a woman say, oh, he's fine, but what's going on with him, you know?
Yeah.
Her heart is searching him more so than her eyes.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know if there's a way to correct that. Well, let's
no,
take
this. No, it's just the way they are. They're visual.
Yeah. And that's not a bad thing, but you gotta know that's not where you stop. That's maybe where it starts. And that's why there's so much pressure on women to look good, to attract. But then after the attraction, that's when you got to build the depth of the relationship, and that's what we're missing in terms of how to teach that. Well, let's take the next caller, 773-737 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts, questions, or comments for Dr. Debbie.
Well, hello, greetings, Global Transformers. Mama D here in Chicago.
Mama D, looking for some wisdom today from Mama D.
Okay, what's interesting to me is the question, why should a wife stay with a lying, cheating man instead of focusing on why is the man a liar and a cheat or in denial so he can escape responsibility for the consequences of his action? You said it earlier. You broke this vase and you were a child. And you know you broke it. But you're going to get a whipping. Are you going to fess up? Or do you have one of those family arrangements? Well, if one of these children does not confess, I'm punishing all. So you grow up thinking it's just better for everybody to be punished than for me to step up and take responsibility for what I did and save everybody else. But that behavior isn't checked in childhood. It grows right on into adulthood. And at the end of the day, it's about accepting responsibility for your actions. So why is that this man, now that he's mature, he still can't do that? That's my question.
It's a learned behavior. It's a learned behavior. Any behavior that's done more than one time is learned. So that's the makeup of his constructed subconscious mind. And yes, it occurred, and yes, it, you know, experienced as a child, but again, it has, you know, perpetrated and actually transferred into his adult life, where most people have. We all have a lot of learned behaviors from our childhood, and that's one that he has. Now, is that going to interfere in his relationships? Absolutely. Because if the person that he's involved with knows that he's cheating, and if she accepts that he's cheating, then she needs to make the bigger, she needs to be the bigger person and step away. Because it's not like he's going to stop, especially when if it was a open discussion that he was caught and still doing what he's doing. Okay, well, who's the dysfunctional person for staying in a relationship? Is it him or is it the person that already knows the truth?
Mm.
Exactly.
Well, you know,
so, I mean, it's time that, you know, a person, you can't just blame the person all the time. After a while, it's going to come back to you, whether you choose to stay in that relationship or exit, because he is just who he is.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is where the decision comes in at, because usually in a relationship, there are you're an uncle, you're a father. There are lots of considerations outside of the one and only decision that makes it a relationship or not is forsaking all others. If you cannot do that, it's over with. And the question becomes, I think there's a Chinese saying about 1,000 cuts. You know, you can, a brave man dies but once, but a coward dies 1,000 times. It's that 1,000. Do you get what I mean?
Yes.
About 1,000.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, would you expound on that, please?
Well, okay, that's like an ongoing behavior, right? So we call it an ongoing lie. An ongoing lie is just going to continue to create an ongoing lie. So like you said, you know, it is a cut. A cut, does it not hurt? Is it not damaging to that person? So if you're continuing the same behavior over and over again, whether in a dysfunctional relationship or out of a dysfunctional relationship, you are then putting the pressure upon you. It's not, you can't blame the other person anymore. You see what I'm saying? When you didn't know, you might kind of blame them. But once you know, then that then comes back to you to make a conscious decision on your life, whether you want to stay in this relationship and continue to allow those cuts to keep happening over and over again, which is causing internal damage, whether you realize it or not, because the damage is not going to surface until sickness comes. Sickness, mental sickness, emotional sickness, physical sickness, because stress causes a lot of different things to happen in a person's life. And we are overly stressed most of the time, whether we know it or not. And like I said, the interruption comes when the physical man starts to change. When the physical man starts to be like, whoa, what's going on? Okay, look at your life. What have you been...
Uh-oh. Well, hold on a second. We lost our internet connection. Hold on just one second. Just one second. We lost the connection with Dr. Debbie. She'll be right back in just one quick second, and we'll make sure she continues her answer. So give us just one moment. We lost her connection, and we'll be right back. So hold on just one second. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Debbie.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show, as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, jobs, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human.
A couple of seconds when my screen went out, but
I think we got the gist of your comment. So thank you so much, Mama D, and thanks for holding on. We appreciate you. And
thank you.
We'll hear Mama D the fourth Saturday here on the Female Solution. And let's go to 312-671. You got a minute before we wrap up. Go right ahead with your question for Dr. Debbie Green.
Way on Yashalom. Assalamu alaikum. Good morning, Minister Plump from Chicago, Illinois. My question is, Dr. Green, to you, is do you think that the lower level, which is from the navel down, should overpower the higher level of the human being, which is from the navel up to your dome, which is your head?
Thank you for that question, Minister Plump. I've heard that that's the problem, that people let their sexual arousal dictate their choices, and that's what dominates. What are your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. People are led by their reproductive areas. But you know, hey, that's a nice way of saying. You know what I'm saying? But you know, but the thing about this is that is actually not the best choice. Because one thing about I call it sexual obligation in relationships, you know, that's all they are. That's all they're going to be. You see what I'm saying? So when a strong wind of life hits that relationship, it's going to fall to pieces. Because anyone who is led by their sexual, again, their sexual obligations is only going to go to another person. That's all they're going to do.
Thing.
And that person's left thinking, oh, you know, I thought we had something.
We
did not, because we didn't have an obligation.
Right.
No, we were just bad fellows. We were just lovers. But that doesn't, we ain't committed to nothing.
Well, you know, that's what I see as the pattern, though. That and I know we got to leave in a minute, but this is what I've seen as the pattern, and this is what I've heard from a lot of young men. Their thought is, I just want to get with somebody and, hey, you know, we have our intimacy and that's it. I don't want to get married because you can't get out of it with a lot of drama and it costs you. So I'm not married. I saw what happened to my parents and they got ready to split and then, you know, the court and all that stuff. I just want to have my person and when we're done, I leave. So that's the thought because...
There's nothing wrong with that.
And that's
what they call a no string attachment. And as long as they're saying that up front, Naima, is nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
That young lady needs to know,
this is just for the love in me, baby. Okay, it ain't got nothing to do with community.
Ain't no goals
involved.
Okay, I
want to marry you. I don't want to have any kids with you. I don't want to grow up old with you. I just want your body. That's really what they're saying. If they cool with that, if that's all they want to say about it, okay, that's an open relationship. No strings attached. Do what you do. Okay, but then don't come into that relationship and don't tell somebody that. And
right.
then you, when something happens, then you act like you don't know.
Right.
Like, you know, if that person starts, if they get pregnant, if they start falling deeply in love with you, you have not been honest with them. And that's on either side of the coin. Either man or woman should be straight up to let somebody know, hey, I'm in a relationship, and I'm out of a relationship, and I don't want any strings attached. So let me be real with you.
Yeah.
Let me be real with you, and that's fine.
See,
nothing's wrong with that when you have invisible loyalty that's honest.
Yeah.
Honest, invisible. Let me say this last thing, because I know we're winding up. Invisible loyalty is when you are obligated to someone that's not obligated to you. When you feel responsible to somebody that's not responsible.
Right.
So if you are involved in an invisible loyalty relationship, check yourself first. Check yourself first, and you ask yourself, should I stay in this relationship for the long haul? Because I'm not getting fed nothing. No trustworthy, no love, no nothing. I'm just here just to be here. I'm just holding space.
Right.
And I'm tired of holding space because I'm worth more than that.
Ooh,
Thank you so much, you two.
All right.
For joining us, please subscribe to the channel. Leave us a comment if you want us to talk about something. Thank you, Facebook. We're here every Thursday.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Geret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.